Friday, so I will not be here.
And I have one request. I facilitate a national call at 11. It's easier. I can't do it on my cell phone anymore. I have to be home to do it. So I was wondering if we can meet at 9, if we're going to meet on Fridays.
Well, it's just today and next Friday, and then we're going back to the Thursday.
Oh, okay. So. All right. I'll figure it out next Friday for one day.
But we can, if people are amenable. So, well, let's call the meeting to order. Why don't we start out with that? So, currently what we have scheduled is next Friday at 9:30, the 23rd, and the 30th back to Thursdays at 9:30. Yes.
Just on that, and I appreciate that we moved that for me, but without March being present, next Thursday, I still have a conflict in the morning, but if it works for everyone to do Thursday later in the day, I could do Thursday later in the day.
What do people
think? I mean, I do think having the, whenever we can endeavor to have all of us, is best, because we're kind of getting into a home stretch.
Is there a time?
Well, that's that zero waste tour is that day.
So what time is it?
Could we find a place to meet before that, like the New Cross or Village Hall? Or?
I don't know how that works with advertisement and stuff, because we do have to advertise where we're meeting, because we're on the legislative schedule. So.
Or we could do evening.
I don't mind at all. I really feel like this is a great group of people, and I don't need to be, I don't feel like every one of us needs to be at every meeting.
Okay.
I'm sorry I've missed a number of meetings. It really is just a scheduling issue, but I think it's fine.
Okay.
Like, my biggest concern was the contract, and we really got to the lion's share of that. So.
Would people, to accommodate Manna Joe, could people make 9 o'clock next Friday?
Just that one
just
time?
Just that one meeting?
On Friday? Yeah,
that would be extremely helpful to me.
Okay. So we will move next Fridays to 9 a.m. So that'll be 9 a.m. on the 17th. Am I getting the right date?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's till 10:30, like an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we will meet on Thursday the 23rd, Thursday the 30th, back at 9:30. So everybody, and then we'll, in those next 3 weeks, we'll figure where we are for the month of June. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next week we are meeting
here, 9 o'clock, next Friday.
Friday
the 17th. And then to give an update, I did reach out to Kelly Turturro at the DEC. She called me back yesterday. We had a very lengthy conversation. She is very interested in coming to speak to us. She is trying to arrange her schedule and to bring some other people from her team. She did mention, and Amanda, what was the name of the person that you kept saying?
Dave Pollack.
Yes. So, and I apologize, the name wasn't in my head, but that is the name she mentioned. She's going to try to bring him. She is attempting either the 23rd or the 30th. She and I left it that I'm going to get back to her next week to see where she stands on availability, and so she is very interested in coming to talk to us, though, and bringing some of her team, and she thought it was a great idea. So that's where we are on that. So either the 23rd or the 30th is what we're shooting for one of those two meetings that the DEC will attend. Did we get any feedback either by email or phone call from haulers? I have not heard anything from any of the haulers. Did put the legislative chair's email and phone number, put my email in the letter to them. Have not heard anything, and I send it to all the haulers that are registered with the UCRA. So either they have no comments, or they'll come in at the end of the. So that's where that stands. Yes, Mara.
I was thinking, I heard Mark say that Ucker wanted to meet with the haulers, and we've talked about maybe having a meeting there, and I wonder, it's short notice, and I know how busy you must be, but I'm wondering if the invitation came from UCRA to meet with this committee and to do it there.
Yeah, I mean, the letter, basically, we included a copy of the resolution with the letter so they knew what we were charged with doing. It was a short one-page letter, but just introducing ourselves, inviting them to come to a meeting, telling them when we were meeting, saying that if they couldn't attend a meeting, if they wanted to submit any comments, either verbally or by email or in writing, and heard nothing back. So that doesn't mean that they don't want to comment, but it just means that we haven't heard anything back. So if you think that works, Mark, we could certainly try that.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the same meeting for me because it's going to be a completely different tone. And so I'm happy to try to facilitate and host a meeting at the RRA, but I think it's difficult to have the oversight agency have a meeting and then, or prior to that, having them come to a commission that's made up to make recommended decisions.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate this. That seems all but impossible, actually. Like, it will really have an impact on one or the other meeting. But I want to understand what we hope to glean from having a meeting with Haulers.
I don't know. My feeling was we were giving them an opportunity to tell us whatever they wanted to tell us. I wasn't going into it with any sort of outcome other than feedback. And I had no idea, not being a hauler, I had no idea what that feedback may be. So, and there seemed to be a general opinion of this board that we should talk to the haulers. So March,
I think I'm the one that made the suggestion that we reach out to them. I just wanted to make sure that we are not delegitimized by the haulers after coming out with a report because they didn't have the opportunity to speak.
Okay.
It's not a necessity that we sit down with them, but I wanted them to know if you have grave concerns, if you have issues you want to bring forward, if you have things, priorities you want to identify for this commission, we're open to hearing them. We don't have to set a time, in my mind, to sit down and hear them, but at least they know they could come.
Right.
That was what it was.
And that, I think, is valuable, having done the outreach. Right. It's just, and I say this from several of the other commissions where we had representatives from the haulers. One, it's hard to get them, but we had a hauler at the table. But I feel like much of what we're talking about, particularly as it, and sort of backs off of what Mark just said, particularly as it relates to any significant change in regulation, it doesn't take a fortune teller to say a hauler is going to be upset if we have regulation that's going to require two trucks or a new investment, or, I mean, because that's just, that's the outcome. Right. Of regulation is that there's a cost,
right,
and they're for-profit businesses. So
I think the general feeling was to give them the opportunity to weigh in,
okay,
in the discussion.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, I think,
yeah,
from the perspective that March just articulated, yeah, of not delegitimizing this work by not, right, having reached out, that's important.
And that's why somewhat I worded the letter the way I did. I didn't go into a lot of detail. I basically let the resolution speak for itself. And I said, you know, we're holding these meetings. If you would like to offer us any feedback on the topic, and here's the methods to get in touch with us. Either come to a meeting, email us, write us, call us. And that letter went out now 3 weeks ago. And there's been,
okay,
zero feedback. So, and we sent it to the address. I misunderstood. I thought what was on, there were email addresses on the list. What it was websites. So we physically mailed a letter to every address we had from the RRA's website.
Okay.
So I can only assume it got to them. We didn't send it certified, but.
Yeah.
They can't say, oh, well, you didn't reach out to us. We didn't reach out to us.
We gave them the opportunity, and nobody took advantage in any format. So,
There is a representative, one representative on the ROC,
right.
But I think it was a deficit. I think the ROC, at least by positions, is very representative of the community at large, and I don't think that this committee, I think it's a good committee, but I don't think it's, I do think it needs more input, and I'd be disinclined to just say, well, we sent them a letter and let it go. We don't have to spend more time this morning figuring it out, but and I hear what Mark's saying about kind of mixing apples and oranges, but I do think that we might need to be a little bit more proactive. It's too bad there's not an association.
That's kind of their choice. So I feel like we've made more than the attempt, and to make them aware of this, because to be honest, they may not have even been aware that this committee existed. Some of them may have known, but I don't want to get too bogged down on this topic.
When we have recommendations, maybe we could send them as a draft and then get their feedback.
See, this is, I do think we need to get bogged down, actually, because we have whatever, six weeks left.
Right.
And if we're going to get to the point 4 weeks from now where we're looking at a draft and we have members on the committee who feel that sense of, we internally have delegitimized the work because we haven't heard from the. I'm not one of those people. If I don't hear from the whole,
I'm not either.
I just don't even know what they're going to say. I'm that's why I'm earnestly asking members of the committee who are concerned about hearing from the haulers, what they, not the specifics of what they're looking to hear, but what is the realm of comments that they need to hear from the haulers in order to feel the legitimacy of what the recommendations are.
If I can just reply to that, I'm only hearing that, and this is not to single out, and I'm only hearing that from one member right now.
But Laura, we didn't hear from Laura. Had her hand up for a
moment. Okay.
I don't know what Laura's thoughts are.
Yeah, I do agree that they're a very important stakeholder, and they've been invited, since the Solid Waste Authority started, and that is one of the reasons why recycling isn't part of flow control and within those bylaws. Also with the composting, and I believe that's why when we took on composting, there was a rollout. Manager Joe has been very interested in doing construction and demolition debris. So as we're working on, putting forward recommendations, we really need to hear from them to make sure that it is something that can be done. I've had boots on the ground, but not in their type of operations. So I'm not even sure if some of the things we would like to see the RA do, if we put it in the contract that there's no construction and demolition debris, that we pull out mattresses, how then are we going to facilitate that so these programs will work? And I think that's why I'd like to hear back from the haulers. And they could very well say, we just don't want to do it, which is, nice for a two-year-old, but eventually I may be able to coax them along, as long as it's reasonable,
Yeah, Mark.
I think one of the reasons to hear from the haulers is that, given the changes that could occur as a result of this work to the industry in Ulster County, you could see people leave the business and in the county, so it could make it unprofitable, and you could see haulers pull out of the county, and you could see collapse of the industry into just a few haulers that would create a monopolistic environment. So that will drive up costs. More than necessary. So I think that's my concern from the hauler perspective is are we going to be looking at a situation where we wind up with a single hauler on the ground in Ulster County?
Yeah, Tracy.
Yeah. How many haulers are registered right now?
There
are
18.
Yeah, there's probably
a couple are tiny. We've had a significant over the course of the last 20 years, a significant drop off. Yeah. That what you've talked about has happened already.
Yeah.
The 15, some of them are very small players, and so And again, using the example of Vermont composting law, you know, certain regulations create markets. You know, I worry that, and I want to hear from them too, but I just, when you would say them, mm-hmm. are all 15 of them going to show up, or is one person going to come, and do we expect that they're going to say to any of your questions, Laura, do you want to do this? And they're going to say, yeah, we'd love to take that on. That's great. You mean we have to refit all of our trucks? Yeah. Or we have to give up that whole business? They're going to say, yeah, no problem.
So
I just don't think that's realistic.
15 haulers said the letter.
So 15. I just, I'm just not sure. I want to hear from everybody, but we have 7 weeks left.
Right.
And so I'm just not sure we're going to hear from anyone. Everyone, and in my experience with the haulers, we're saying the haulers like it's an organization, and really it's one person that comes to a table, or another person that comes to a table, or another person, and the big players, we kind of know what they're going to say already.
I would like to offer a compromise of sorts, and that is to see if the hauler from the ROC could come, mm-hmm. and we prepare. Like, I do want to talk about C&D, and there may be other topics, and that way we get some input, but we don't, we don't dismiss it, and we at least attempt to invite, and there is a representative of sorts at the ROC.
So I look at it as we did attempt. I mean, we sent a letter 3 weeks ago. Yes, we could do more follow-up, but either they want to comment or they don't. And, you know, and I agree, there is no agency that we're, you know, it is 15 unique individual haulers, but I sort of look at it as, you know, our job is to make a report back to the legislature to the best of our ability. We have attempted to include their thoughts and comments in, and there's been zero feedback. So,
Mr. Chairman, we'll get feedback after the recommendation.
I agree.
I mean, that's, I think, what's going to
happen.
But we don't have
a
process for draft. I'm sorry, Jim.
I don't blame you. I think I like the idea of reaching out, and even the idea of manners compromise. But my sense is that if they wanted to, if they wanted to comment, they would. They don't think it's real. They're going to read the comments and the recommendations, and then they're going to say, oh, so we should just
commit
to that. And they are recommendations, so we will have a chance to tweak what actually comes out the final end. You know, it's not like we're going to make recommendations and they're going to be adopted.
Right.
Well, and that's on the legislature, what they do with our report. Our report is, we have to remember, our report is to the legislature. And, you know, that's why I don't necessarily, we should have a draft within our own sense, but I don't think there should be a publicly released draft for the public to comment on. We are a committee of these seven mm-hmm. people convened for a specific reason to make a report to the legislature.
But the report will be public, and then it will...
It absolutely will be.
Yeah, so then it
but then it's up to the legislature to do what they do
exactly.
next with it,
exactly.
Not us.
Can I just...
Yeah.
So I now ask Tim and to have staff gather a list of email addresses, because I'm sure we have them.
Okay.
What I gave you was just the physical addresses.
Yeah.
So I think reaching out one more time at the contact email that we have for each hauler.
I'm happy to do that. That's easy enough.
Yeah, that could have been what happened. I mean, we get things that would be sent from the agency to the town supervisors. It never trickled down to the transfer station. So,
right.
I don't have, it's been too long. I don't have the old contacts. We used to have a list of the people that you would speak to, you know, waste management and everything in there.
Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, again, just to, because we're carrying so many things in our brains and at this table, but our just to humor me, the resolution says that we're established to review UCRRA enabling legislation, operations, policies, and the contractual agreement with the county, and recommend reform measures.
Right.
You know, it's a fairly narrow charge, and what I take from that charge too is you know, what is, like, what is the greatest good for the public benefit? You know, if we get in the, if we get in the weeds, and again, this is not to say I don't want to hear from them, but if we get into the weeds weighing what for-profit companies have to say about us evaluating the best public benefit specific to the future of the RRA, this RRA Reform Committee, I mean, all this intersects with it.
Right.
I think we've lost the heart of our charge then. And again, I'm not saying I don't want to hear from them. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be at the table. We're an open committee. If someone comes and wants to talk to us, we've been really open to talking to them. I just think it, I think it strays a little far, and I also think it's not our job. It's our job to make the recommendation of the highest public good, not to evaluate how to do it, not to say whether it's profitable. That those are, that's like someone else's job. That's not my charge here in my mind.
Well, if I can just add on that, that's where I keep saying our job is to make a recommendation to the legislature, what the legislature does with it next and how they, who they bring to the table to consider the recommendations. We can't create legislation. We can recommend legislation. We can recommend policies. We can recommend, and that's what we're doing. We want to get as much feedback on these recommendations, but this is not a brand new topic. Everybody at this table has been dealing with this for many of us, some of us decades, some of us less. But you know,
and
the bottom line is we made the attempt, and if we get the email addresses, but what's the next step? Do we physically go to each hauler and say, please come to the meeting? I just sort of say, where do we stop? You know.
We already have a suggestion for a next step, and that's to try emailing.
Okay. I'm just, yeah.
And
I'm just responding
I also
to Tracy's comment.
Think that it's a mistake to not have a draft and allow input before it goes to the legislature and just say it's up to them. What they're going to do is pass it back to us. If it isn't thoroughly vetted, it's not up
input
to the legislature to vet.
Input from who? I agree with Tracy 100%. Our job is to charge to prepare a report to the legislature. And then what they do with it is up to them.
I just wanted to remind folks also, especially of anything that's more major like flow control of recyclables, et cetera, it has to go through an entire seeker process.
Right.
You know, so it's formal. Anything with a local law, any evaluation like that has to go through seeker too.
My sense is that that this committee is being controlled, and I will have to report that back to the legislature.
I'm going to take exception to that. Controlled by who? I want to unpack this because you can't make a statement like that and then not follow up on it. I apologize, but you can't make a statement that's being controlled. Who is controlling it? We are seven individuals who are giving up our time to be here twice a month and now four times a month, and all very knowledgeable on the topic. I understand that it may not, the outcome may not be everybody's wish list, but I'm really offended by that. If you think that I'm controlling this committee, I mean, I've been sending things out, asking for feedback, and not getting anything.
If
you would like to write the report, please do.
I offered to help write the report. I offered to organize the information, and you said you want to do it your way.
I have an outline that we can get to later. I picked up on what you did, and I think you have some good work here. And so what I tried to do was help you organize it into sections.
And
so if you want to get to that at some point, you know,
right?
Yeah.
I understand, but I just, when I hear controlled, I mean I'm doing the job that this body elected me to do. If people would like me to step down and Tracy become the chair, I'll stay on the committee, and I'm fine with that. But I'm doing the job the best way that I know how, and I apologize if it's not what people want it to be. So,
Can I ask, are we in agreement that we are going to send an email to the haulers?
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a result mm-hmm. of this. It could be the letter that went out to them just yeah. via email so they have it. Because I do think paper does get lost in the shuffle these days.
Yeah.
And that's just one more attempt. And then I would like to keep the conversation open about how we not only write the draft, but seek possible input from others on the draft once it is drafted and before it is finalized. And I would just like to keep that conversation open. I do think there could be value to making a drafty draft available for a week or two to say, if people have comments, we're open to hearing that. And I think we should take that conversation up a little bit later because we're at such an early stage right now. So that would be my ask of the whole committee, is yeah. that we at least keep that option on the table.
Mm-hmm. And is it possible to have... because I put some information in a Google Doc and you have something else. Could we put everything in so we can have a shared document and, you know...
Absolutely. I mean, right now, I, because of my change in email address, I don't even have access anymore to the Google Doc. So, and I'm working on that. Hopefully, I can resolve that today. So,
and I did I've lost morning, more access. So rather than put it on the Google Doc, I just brought it in a little earlier. I worked on, I looked at what you said, and I looked at what Matt said, and I thought, yeah. well, here, let's...
I mean, what I took was literally the minutes of the meetings and said, these are the things we've said these past 11 meetings, and put them in a bullet point format. I didn't recreate anything, I didn't change anything, I just said, this is a synopsis of what we said. Okay, so then moving on, Marsh, you weren't able to attend last meeting. We were talking about the contract. Is there more?
So I just want to say in follow-up to the contract, my takeaway is there's three outstanding issues that I think can be resolved with additional work. One was the discussion around minimizing costs versus maximizing profits, and seeing if there are other models. I don't think that work has been done. I'm happy to take a crack at some of that over the next week or two. The second one was creating a timeline of the requirements that, you know, impact the agency in terms of the Public Authorities Accountability Act and the Legislative Budget Process Act. And I think that is something that I could, you know, generate from my understanding, share to the executive director, and then share amongst particularly the folks on this committee that are involved in county legislative budget process, because I think we have a lot of knowledge at the table, and then come back to just have that as an addendum or, you know, in the section where we're writing up the contract. I think we need to be aware of the timelines that are imposed on this agency in the budget process. And then the last one is just the importance of making enforcement a priority in the contract. And I think that was well understood by everyone at the table. Everybody felt in agreement that was a priority. I don't know if I'm leaving something out that was raised or that needs more discussion, but those were the three sort of takeaways that I had that needed a little bit more juice after our conversation on the contract 2 weeks ago.
With enforcement, is separate from, because we had a discussion of laws that are passed by the county legislature and whether or not, you know, there's kind of a clear understanding of ACRA's role in potentially implementing those, enforcing those.
Right.
Is that part of that?
That's what I'm talking about when I say enforcement. That, like, the enforcement sections of the contract right now don't really speak to any additional laws or policies adopted by the county, and that somehow that bridge has to be made.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think, you know, I think we should return to this when we have a timeline that's a little bit more cemented, where everybody's going to look at it and say, yes, that is what we believe the timeline is imposed on the agency. And as far as minimizing costs versus maximizing benefit, I think there's research that needs to be done there.
Should we be issuing a, for lack of a better way to put it, a red line version of the existing contract. It's very specific of these sections should be removed, these sections should be added, or is it, you know,
my
you
sense
work
is
with
we
the contract.
Take the minutes of the conversation, we take the contract as it is. It's a static PDF written in Courier in 1991, so it's not really an editable document at this point. I don't have a maybe you do, Amanda, a Word version. But I think what would be better is to have notes in the contract, you know, sort of like A, B, C, with notes attached that say, here is a general discussion of what needs to change or what this committee feels should be discussed in that section, rather than a specific red line. That's my sense, but I'm open to what others have to say.
Yeah, I mean, given our limited time and also just our charge, I think a red line version is probably too much detail. But one thing I think that would, so I like March's suggestion of sort of more generalized, but referencing the specific contract and its amendments. But I would also open the possibility with Mark here at the table that, for example, we learned, and I don't know if you were here, that through Jim Googling, I think it was at the last
meeting,
that biotech doesn't exist anymore, right? So Mark may have a handle on some of, in relation to the contract and the local solid waste management plan, things that are not, I mean, I think it would be valuable for us to hear from you about the contract as well, since you're the other side of the interstate agency. Like, we're not representing the legislature and the county specifically. We're looking to the future of this. So anything that you have to offer, we could potentially, you know, we can weigh and be more informed about our recommendations. And I do think that there's an intersection between the contract and the local solid waste management plan that's implied in the contract because of the agency's relationship to the county and the legal binding impact of the contract, and vis-a-vis the local solid waste management plan being what's prepared by the agency but for the county. So those things go, in my mind, go, you know, hand in hand, on and on.
Okay. I think we're doing this backwards. We're talking about a contract, and I'm not even sure that going forward with UCRA is the best idea, and I'm on the UCRA board.
Well, that's why the next two topics
right,
are on the agenda.
I think what we need to do is flip-flop this and decide.
Okay.
And you know,
It's a big conversation.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Which
it's
is why they're on today's agenda.
Until we get past that,
yeah.
All of this is really just, you know, sort of theoretical. What is the structure of the UCRA going to be vis-a-vis Ulster County going forward? Then we write the contract. So I understand you've done a lot of good work, but it's preliminary to what we really have to decide.
Great.
And honestly, nothing that I've heard here has convinced me that UCRA is the right way to go. We're tying ourselves in knots trying to figure out how to pay for everything. You know, it would be a whole lot simpler if it was Ulster County Legislature and Ulster County Executive making these decisions without trying to rope in a third agency. How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for that? That's one thing that bothers me about this. Another thing, and I give a lot of respect to Mark. I think he could do a great job leading a department because I'm astonished how quickly he's come on board and made things better at the agency. But he's not a miracle worker, you know? And why is this?
So with that said, then why don't we move into, as you just said, in reverse order. They were put down just in the order that they were brought up.
I think we need to have this first. And so let me ask the question, why isn't making decisions about something as basic as materials management the idea of elected officials? Why does it fall to a 5-member citizen board who are not really accountable to anybody? That to me is one elephant in the room.
So, I mean, that's the middle point. That's the board makeup. I mean, we could change the board makeup to add accountability by putting elected officials or any number of people on it. That is one important discussion. But from my perspective, the historical answer to that is that are for people. So all the importance of self-reliance and the need to have a landfill, and knew that politically it wasn't possible, and therefore we needed a public benefit agency to do that heavy lift. And we have thus far failed. That's the answer. That's in the history. That's in the documents. It's in the records. It's there. And we're at this table having that same discussion with the same set of circumstances, only maybe more urgent, in the same vein of the climate crisis and other things. And you have the evidence why an elected body with very recent history, why an elected body can't do that lift. We previous legislature couldn't even keep it together to not weigh in onto the issue of siting a landfill when we weren't actually siting a landfill. How crazy is that? I mean, how mental is that?
But Accra has not been able to site a landfill either.
But no, it hasn't. But given both possibilities, the real heavy lift. How do we pay? When you the rhetorical question, how do we pay for this? Barring the wacky thing that was put in, limiting bonding capacity, and I'm not minimizing it. I also still question its legality in relation to being a true autonomous agency. But barring that question, how do you pay for it? You just do it, and you build a county. That's it. It's like you just do it.
But
make
so
the
does
best
the county really want to give that power? Like, Joel, is the comptroller, does the executive really want to give the power of what we're going to decide and how we're going to pay for it to five citizens? Now, granted, we have a pretty good board right now, but we don't always have a good board. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to make decisions on tens of millions of dollars in the county. Sorry?
That's why they took back the bonding.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So
really, if the county wants to give that decision of tens of millions of dollars in the future of something as important as materials management to five citizens who, you know, I try. I don't have a lot of time to do this, and I'm going to make decisions on tens of millions of dollars, and the county executive is going to say, oh, okay, that was their decision. You know, and you think that's going to fly politically? I don't think so.
Anyway, let's let Mana speak. Sure. She's trying, and then I just have to reply back to that.
Yeah, I just want to say that it was a real political football 30 years ago. But the county's more educated. We have more experience. I don't have a strong opinion about a department because I've watched the departments, and I've seen the departments not always do as good a job as I would have hoped. And I could cite examples, but I'm not Joe Maloney. I'm sorry. I think the middle ground is what Tracy had proposed, which is to expand the board so that the idea is to get everybody working together, as far as I'm concerned. And I think part of the problem has been the autonomy, and sometimes hiding behind the autonomy, where good suggestions were dismissed because they came from the legislature rather than a board member. So if there was someone from the legislature on the board and someone from the Supervisors Association, if we could identify what's working here, what's working in the Recycling Oversight Committee, what's not, and that might be, first of all, it would be a lot simpler. We'd still have to go to the legislature, but going to the state legislature to disband an existing authority, I haven't given up on the RRA. On the other hand, for various reasons, it's been very dysfunctional, and so I can understand why you and others are recommending that it become a department. I think an agency with not so much oversight, but connection to important stakeholders like the legislature. I think the bonding requirement was a step in the right direction, but I also think that that the agency, you know, in a sense, kind of built a wall around it out of being an independent authority. And I don't think that's been helpful. So I think those are some of the things that could be addressed in either the board composition or a contract. And maybe it should only be a 5-year contract to see if we can get this working.
So my thoughts on it is, you know, the original enabling legislation was state legislation, even created the agency in the first place. So I think we kind of need to go back a little bit to that. I see both points. I see where a department could work. There is a bit of a checks and balances in that if you're creating a new department, I believe that would have to go to the charter and to referendum. Ultimately, but I don't know. I think you can create a new department, correct? Mm-hmm. Without it going to referendum.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
But it could also go to referendum. So in that, the public gets to vote. It can't?
No.
But for the charter to change, to add in the new department, it does go to
referendum. Only certain things can go to referendum,
yeah.
And that's not one of them.
It's not a mandatory.
You can't just choose to send something to referendum.
No, understand that. But when
that
you're changing the charter.
Not every charter change goes to referendum.
Only ones.
Agreed.
Only
diminishing powers.
Agreed. But some of the current charter changes are changes that have occurred already, that they're now changing the language in the charter referendum.
But the referendum, the charter changes that go to referendum have to do with diminishing powers.
So, okay.
Limiting powers.
Okay.
Particularly of elected.
Right.
I mean, 2 years ago we created the Department of Mental Health. It
we
never went
the
to
Department of Environment.
It never went to a referendum.
So
that eventually went to
I also think, though, that many people in the public, this is not on one of the things that is on their radar. Whether it should be or shouldn't be is another discussion. But the many people, and I'm talking about the average, I'm not talking about people that are strong recyclers, environmentalists, but many people, they just want to throw their garbage somewhere and it goes away. They don't think about what happens to it afterward. They don't, and I realize that that's part of our job. But the political climate these days is there's a very big distrust of government with a small G, and so putting something into the government may or may not be the right solution either. At least with individual citizens, they're certainly expanding the board to include elected officials in the discussion process, I think, is something that should be considered. But
So I just want to note, like, we have other boards that make really extensive decisions for the county that are citizen-led, like the Industrial Development Agency, and at, you know, the level of the City of Kingston, the Kingston Housing Authority, they don't always work perfectly, and sometimes there are transparency and accountability problems there, but we will have an opportunity in the contract to define more of what we want going forward, and as much as everyone here feels tied up about what's happened, I want to acknowledge that this, in my opinion, this independent agency model has actually worked. As painful as it's been, our garbage needs have been taken care of in a not tremendously horribly expensive way. We haven't created a ton of infrastructure that's unnecessary or unused, you know, so I feel like there should be an acknowledgement that the independent structure, as painful as it's been, particularly for the board members and staff of the agency, I think, has actually worked largely. And the problems that we've had, for example, implementation of the Food Waste Act being an example, right, where it was just really a kerfuffle, it could be a result of us not being clear enough. We didn't modify the contract at that time to address that additional responsibility. That problem could have been taken care of. I, for one, like the independent model, and I also want to note you're sitting here, Jim, as a board member of the agency, and one person at the table of this group that hasn't worked inside the county, and the rest of us are telling you a department's not going to fix our problems. So I think it's kind of an interesting, you're coming with an outsider's view, and I think the rest of us see the sausage make, Mike also has not worked for the county, but many of us at the table see the sausage making inside departments, and we know what a struggle it is to have effectiveness there.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, I would agree with what March just said and add to that to say that if there's something that hasn't worked, you know, if we were going to zoom out even further and be more critical, it's the failure to cite the landfill, the original charge, and it's the lack of investment in upgrading the MRF and in being really proactive in the arena. We all would have wanted to see proactivity. When I say all, I mean people at this table. And that, to me, that is a result of this really strained kind of behind-the-scenes relationship that came about as a result of high net service fees, that came about as a result of refinancing, that came about as a result of political pressure. And I say all that to say, do I think that the county would have spent $50 million investing in a new MRF and all the things that I would have liked to have seen? Fortunately, no, I don't think so. No. Like, what are the big investments this county's made, you know, other than the important big investments in required maintenance of, in terms of infrastructure, a jail, great. We can talk about that for a long time.
Really,
you know
well.
What I mean? It's like, yeah, so I don't think there would have been a different outcome if it were a county department. I think the tragedy, from my perspective, is that there was the possibility of a different outcome with an autonomous agency. So I haven't given up the hope of what this agency could bring in its current structure. I do think it's really worthwhile to talk about an expansion of the board. If even from the perspective that five citizens that are changing have felt the weight that you're talking about without the connection at the table, and when Mana talks about us all working together, that may be a way, particularly if we're not giving so much weight to elected officials that they're a majority of the board, but a way to have a kind of a through line of support for having us all connected. And it occurs to me that we probably also need to have the executive. I know through Amanda we have the executive offices here, but when we get to really talking about, okay, what does it mean to make this a department? What does it mean to take it over? Like, there's financial pictures, but is the county ready to take on that shift and a commitment to these kinds of projects in the short term, which is what has to happen? That we're going to have to hear from the executive office.
Jim, you had your hand up.
Yeah, if I may, just a couple of things have changed since this agency was created. We now have a county executive. Mm-hmm. And the environment writ large has shifted dramatically around us. We're going to have to make decisions that are going to be draconian, and we're going to need the county's expertise. You know, I look at it and saying, well, we have a planning department, we have an environmental department, we have a Department of Public Works, we have an executive who can have the clout that Mark, for all his expertise, is not going to be able to duplicate, you know, if the county executive is elected. So I still think, I understand what you're all saying, and I encourage the idea, if we're not going to go with an executive, with a department, to expand the board in some way. That will create a whole another set of complications that, you know, we may not be able to foresee. It seems to me cutting the Gordian knot of financing and decision-making for all the problems that a department of the county might have, at least it simplifies two of the major problems that we have. You know, how are we going to pay for all this? Well, it's a lot easier to have the county pay for it than to try and figure out how the county can then, you know, work with the RRA to figure out some kind of finance mechanism that reimburses the county, but really the county doesn't have say over it because it's it's the independent agency. That just seems nuts. And the executive is the elected official who is going to have to sell people on these changes that are going to be necessary. Mark is really good at things, but, you know, nobody knows who the RRA is. Everyone knows who the county executive is. Man, I know you look at me like, really? Nobody knows? I tell people I'm on the RRA board, they're like, oh, what is that? You know? I mean, honestly, I get that a lot. So it's not something we in this room all know about the RRA, but it's not general knowledge. And so, you know, so yes, I respect everybody's point of view here, but I just am not convinced that creating dual agencies or dual responsibilities, given what we're facing in the future, is the right way to go. But if we do go that way, then a 5-year contract or a 10-year contract, I would say 5 years, if that gives it, you know, I'd like to hear what Mark thinks about whether that gives us enough time to implement things. But, you know, I appreciate you taking this issue seriously, and I can tell there's not a lot of enthusiasm for taking this on, and I understand the reasons, but nothing I've heard really convinces me that taking it on as a county department is not the best way to go. And, you know, I'm not going to make a whole lot of noise about this coming out of there. You know, I just want you to know. If this is what we decide to do, that's fine. But I want everyone in this room to know that I still think the best way to go is to simplify, cut the Gordian knot, and bring it aboard.
Let me go over Mark Miller.
Thank you. I think ultimately, you know, this is always going to be a county issue. It was back in the 80s when the supervisors all came to the county and asked for help. And any decisions made by the resource recovery agency, especially as large as siting a landfill or large infrastructure, still has to come through the county. So what we're doing is adding layers. I mean, we have made large investments. I think $26 million into a trail system, and we're probably looking at $50 to $100 million for a 911 center. And I believe there are other counties that have a separation. They have a county planning department, and then they have either one private authority or several that actually do the operations. I'm also thinking that there's would be more grants available, and you would have more assistance because you have multiple departments. Here we've got the executive's office, we have the Department of Environment, we have planning. So there's a lot more access to, you know, to resources. So I'm not saying I'm in favor of all of a sudden taking, you know, the whole planning part back into the county, but I certainly am in favor about discussing it more.
Go ahead.
I want to just restate what and I'm not in favor of compromises. I'm in favor of ideas becoming additive. But in this case, it just does seem to me like an expanded board with a 5-year and not longer than 5-year. If we can't work this out, and I'm not putting all the responsibility on the agency. It has the major responsibility, but if we can't work out a collaborative system that by the end of 5 years we have a reuse innovation center, we have a zero waste implementation plan, all the holes are closed because we are working together, then I absolutely would go for disbanding. I don't know what, you know, maybe to look at some of the other models. Yeah. And maybe we should look at them now while we still have time. But if it's a choice between a department and the RRA, I would say let's try to find a way to put language into the contract and the board that gets us working together, because I think, and I also want to ask everyone to please not badmouth citing a landfill. We have to cite a landfill, even if it's just for a small amount of residual after another technology is used, and it has to be somewhere in the region so we're not going 400 miles or whatever it is away. So, not only not badmouth it, but I try to say how positive it is, because it will provide an incentive for waste diversion, so that we can keep it useful as long as possible. Thank you.
Mark?
Yeah, so I actually don't have a preference either way, whether it's an independent agency. I think we'd be fine as an independent agency, or we'd work fine as a county department. There's some things that employees, you know, I think in some ways the employees would almost be better off with the county department, although I'm working towards that. Things like retiree health benefits that the agency does not provide, that the county provides, and you know, when you're talking about spreading it out amongst a $20 million budget compared to a, what is it, at 360?
413.
Sorry, 413. It's a lot different, but I do think the conversation of agency versus department, there is a third sort of way to go, and some places have a solid waste district, and then that's not relying only on the tipping fees to raise funds, but it would be a blend of a you know, property tax type fee and tipping fees. And so, you know, I just don't want to leave that completely out of your all's conversation, because it is, I haven't done a lot of research on it, but that is one way to go.
There's somewhere in New York that has that?
The,
Rockland,
they may, because I know they do. They do have fees on the property tax bill.
Yeah.
They have user fees, and they're able, and they've built a lot more things.
If I can just weigh in on that. Were you finished? I'm sorry.
Not yet, but on that topic. But as far as the board, and again, I don't have a preference on the size of the board. I think we have a cohesive board right now. But something came up in the governance committee two nights ago, where in the past we had two board members resign, like, together, right? Essentially, when you have a five-member board and any business being done requires three votes, regardless of if there's vacancies or not, that required all three board members to vote yes on any resolution in order to get it passed. That's a difficult task, and it's possible that that would happen again. I think if you have a seven or nine person board, it's very unlikely that you're going to lose four board members all at once. And then my last point, and then I'll turn it back over to you, is when I was in the executive's office, meeting with some of the folks in this room, with us, you know, asking us to do things to help fix the RRA, the one thing that was discussed in our offices is we don't have a seat at the table. And so if you are going to expand the board, I wouldn't recommend one executive appointment, because that's kind of just throw away. I would recommend more than one. So whether you want to throw legislators on it, but I think the executive should have appointments to the board if you're going to expand. And even if not, maybe in the future, if there was, you know, out of the five, one that was, because I think that's how you're going to get buy-in.
So I just want to sort of work backwards. First thoughts on the taxes. I think taxing something like this on land values is really draconian, and it's kind of like school taxes. Whereas, you know, school taxes, and you're on the school board, I was on the school board, and I felt strongly and lobbied hard in Albany to change it to a wealth base, meaning income based, because land rich people are not always able to afford, you know, they may own property because it was, so having a system to pay for waste based on property values to me is the really wrong way to go with it. I think it's got to be based on use. It's got to be, because you may have somebody who's got vacant land that owns 1,000 acres and creates no waste with that vacant land, and now they're getting taxed. But that's just my personal opinion on property taxes in general.
Can I speak to that one point?
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, if the board wants to go that route, we should talk more about it. But I just want, if we seem to keep circling around the number of members on the board, and personally, my opinion is that that's a more important discussion to have right now, if everybody else agrees with that. Because this is the first I've even heard of that concept of property taxation. But the question would be is, do it's a five-member board. Do we go to seven? Do we go to nine?
Can
my
we
own
finish
feeling
on this first?
On what?
District. I'm not done with district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the district then.
It's something I never thought about, and I hear what you're saying about imposing tax based on property value and that implementing some problems, but I also think there is a basic level of infrastructure, and it doesn't have to be all of the costs. You could have, you know, net service fee, tipping fee, and a basic property distributed cost. So I think it merits more conversation. I haven't really thought about it yet.
I agree with what March said, but I think the way to get to the property tax, and I completely agree with Mike that property tax is unfair and particularly hard on seniors. But I think the structural problem is the net service fee. And we had talked about maybe calling it something else, that a net service fee would be when the agency can't balance its budget, but that there could be projects that could be funded by the legislature. And I'm not sure how to get at the issue of the legislature does get its money from property taxes.
You need a Tracy Mark in it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with just, I know we're not going to dig too into it right now, but I agree with the general thought of what Mike said in terms of, and Manna, in terms of the burden, the property tax. I also just think it's worthy of pointing out that to the extent that it became a county department, and even to the extent that the agency made significant infrastructure that couldn't be supported through tipping fee, which is user fee, and had to go back through net service, it is on property taxes, because any non-balance is an increase in the county budget, which goes back to the county property tax holders. So I think it logically always backs into how much can the system support in terms of a user fee, because we all know you hit a point with a user fee where people stop using the system and start dumping it on the side of the road or in the forest. I mean that happens for real. And so you balance that level, and then what has to be borne by all, which right now is through property taxes, just not in an overt way. I cannot even imagine the blowback of a yet another line on every property tax owner's bill that would say, you know, solid waste fee. Like I'm open to having this discussion, but I can't imagine where I would recommend that as a reasonable suggestion. Just, I feel like the blowback from the public, because to Jim's earlier point about people not, and no disrespect to the RRA, but not knowing who you are, there's either people who don't know who you are or who have a bad association. Like, it's just general vibe. So it's like, so to make it even worse, like now it's just, I don't think that's the way. I think we have to find a way to own this, to get to reach a self-sustaining self-reliance. But we have to find a way that owns it, that's not just going onto another line on a tax bill.
Did you have something, Laura? And then
I did, and you know, increased taxes has always been, you know, that's a tough one. And you know, the county budget has gone up, and yet we're pulling it out of other resources. So I think where I'm going with that is I keep going back to Rockland County, and when my grandparents were alive, which we're talking back in the 70s, it was on just certain materials. They actually had a user fee for metal cans and for glass. I don't even think they had plastic back then. But, I mean, the Rockland County program includes daily drop-off of household hazardous waste and electronics. They take in materials like concrete and tar and turn it into a usable product. So, I mean, I wouldn't discount it either. I wasn't happy when my tax bill went up because we're building a new firehouse. But these services are also needed. And I don't know if it's just assessed on all property or if it would just be for a user fee, meaning that there had to be a structure in there that was occupied and not just on vacant land, because vacant land isn't going to need to use anything. So I just don't want to totally shut down the conversation either.
I wasn't necessarily implying that it would be tied to property value, and I don't think that that's how it's done in other places necessarily. A user fee is typically a standard fee, and it sets the basis of major infrastructure, right? To me, you could do exemptions for seniors, veterans, and others like you do in other systems. And I think actually increasing the tipping fee has a greater, like, in order to meet the demands of the agency, has a greater impact on seniors that aren't using their local MRDCs, because the haulers are not just passing on dollar for dollar increases when we do. I can, you know, most likely guarantee that they are increasing it by more than that. And when you have some seniors that have no choice but to get, you know, maybe the smallest bin isn't really, like, they might put one or two bags, but they don't have time to drive or the ability to drive it to the town MRDCs. I think increasing the tipping fees actually has a greater effect on seniors. I had another point, but now I've lost this. So.
Can either the, and I don't know if it would be the legislature, I guess it would be the agency, you have contracts with the haulers for them to be able to come to you,
mm-hmm.
correct? I'm just thinking this through out loud as I'm saying.
We don't have
so, contracts with them. Okay, you have licenses. Is there a way that you could cap what they, you know, and I don't know the answer. Is there a way you can cap what they can charge, or is it just a business decision that, you know, when I know, for example, on you know, my fiance's street, there's seven different haulers that pick up on that street throughout the, you know, she lives in the Hamilton Walk Hill. And every night when I stop down there to see her, there's different cans out from different companies, and I literally have counted seven different haulers. So there is obviously competition out there. So to some degree, that's going to self-regulate that. I don't disagree with what you're saying, if there's collusion, but I think what you're suggesting in a fee on the tax bill is more or less a user fee, not a property value fee, but I don't know how you get around it not appearing as a tax. And now you add the political element to it, because the average citizen lumps all the tax, you know, we all know school taxes, county taxes, local taxes, they all get lumped together as taxes.
Fire district taxes.
There's a lot more than you're talking about, and people understand. And people either understand it or they don't understand it, and they accept it or they don't accept it. But it's the general consensus is of people, my taxes are too high. So, Anna.
Could we have bring together, and Mark, I hate to make more work, but maybe we can each do some research, some possible models of districts, because one thing about a district that would partially address what Mike just brought up, there are places, and it's happened in Ulster County, I'm trying to remember which town or towns at one point bid out the hauling so that there was only one hauler in the community.
The village of New Paltz did that.
And back further.
Town of Kingston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a district, but I think what Mark is referring to is a solid waste district. I think Babylon was the first one that did that. And maybe we could each do a little research to see if it's a viable option. But I'm still thinking that keeping things the way they are, but building connection into the contract, yeah. And keeping and trying that for 5 years might be the best way to go and the least disruptive. And during those 5 years, try to resolve the landfill issue, which keeps it a little separate. I may be one of the few legislators that strongly support landfill siting, and I would offer my backyard, but it's not big enough. Anyway.
Village is,
you know, I grew up in the village of Red Hook. They had twice a week garbage pickup. Admittedly, that was back in the 70s, but... what the village of New Paltz does, yes, it is part of your tax bill, but you don't have to contract out with a private hauler. The private hauler is contracted through the village to do garbage pickup, and that is a service that you're paying for in your taxes, you know, whatever it is, once a week, twice a week, whatever they pick up, and that's different than what I'm envisioning, what Mark is talking about. The village has chosen to do this so they don't have a village transfer station. This is how they're dealing with it.
I don't know that that's actually correct. I think what they did is they put out the bid to allow only one hauler in their village, but you still contract with the haulers and it's not on the taxes. The idea was when you go to the house and there's seven different cans and having seven different trucks drive up and down.
I misunderstood.
My thought popped back into my head, though. If there was ever a district, my thought wouldn't be that it would be net service fee, tipping fee, and a user fee. It would be that user fee in lieu of the ability to get net service fee, because you would then, the district would have the ability to, if they don't meet their own, through the tipping fee, to establish and change the user fee. Similar. But again, not tied to property value.
Right,
just a fee.
Right.
Yeah, I'll check with the mayor, because maybe I am wrong.
He's right.
Okay, I apologize. I made an assumption based on how it was when I grew up, where the village did garbage, and that's what I thought was...
That's the city of Kingston. I mean, by the way, they have their own municipal garbage.
Yeah. Right, right. And town of Kingston, I think, does... It is on the taxes.
But not through an independent hauler, right?
It is. It's contracted through a single hauler. I think it was county waste, New Paltz is...
Okay.
You're only allowed to use one hauler.
Okay,
and the other option is to come to the transfer station, which was helpful, or you can contract at a lower rate because it was negotiated through an RFP.
Okay. Mark?
I have to go. I'm sorry to everybody here. I have another meeting for naturalization ceremony at 11, and I won't be here at your next meeting, so I just wanted to say I appreciate allowing us to hijack the meeting to talk a little bit more about the district idea. You guys, I think, are going to get to the next part of the agenda about expanding the board. And I just wanted to say, just so you know my thoughts, because I think this will bleed over into your next meeting, and I want you to know how I feel. I feel like an expanded board would be a huge benefit to everybody here, to the agency, to the community. I think it would solve part of the problem of people not knowing who the agency is, and I think it would relieve the burden on just a few board members. I like the idea of having some executive appointments. One of the things I saw when I was in the executive's office was, it's not our problem, it's a legislative problem. And really, it's everybody's problem. So I would like to see that. I also think it might be good to have town supervisors represented on that board in some way because they have a different perspective. But I really have faith in this group here to have that conversation without me at the table. I just wanted to know my general thoughts.
Can I pin you down on one thing?
Yeah.
I think just our experience of a number of people, once you get above 9, it's too many. It has to be an odd number. So you either go to 7 or you go to 9. Do you have an opinion one way or the other?
I'm agnostic there. I agree with you. I think when you get to be too large, it becomes unwieldy. Yeah. I would not want to see a 15-member board. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And certainly it doesn't have to be 5 citizens, and then, you know, it could the makeup can be changed as to how it is. But
right.
You know, my feeling is beyond 7, personally, is not really workable. But, you know, you
2 from the executive, 1 from the legislature, and a board.
I would do 2 from the legislature and a board.
Oh, I'm leaving. It's getting hard. I like the idea vaguely.
Do we want to use the last few minutes to have that part of the conversation? I mean, Tracy, you've introduced this. There's not a lot of thought. Do you want to speak first in terms of numbers? And that's kind of where I was hoping we would eventually get to today, is to talk more about this.
Yeah, I have to pull up the... I mean, I opened it... I left it open for discussion. I think we talked about a 7 or 9 member board is kind of where we were landing as well. Absolutely, in the discussion was the opening of appointments to the executive's office because the agency was created when there was no executive, so it just made sense. And I also experienced directly what March just spoke about with at least 2 administrations of, well, it's not our problem because we don't have any of these appointments, even though it is everybody's problem. So even just from that perspective of creating ownership and getting everyone to the table, I've talked about the possibility of having elected officials on the board. I can tell you that that prohibition in the state legislation is pretty, it may be singularly unique to Ulster County, but I think it's, if not, it's we're a minority of counties, and so it would require a change in state legislation, but I think it would be an easy one.
Sure.
No one could really speak to the historical genesis of that, similar to the lack of the ability to flow control recyclables, but it's expected that it was because of wanting to really create that separation in the endeavor to site a landfill. So I don't think anyone expects that that would be a problem to change. It's just about whether or not to take on that, like the blurring of that hard line. But I do think, and I was prepared to advocate that we're probably at the point where we need it, both to provide support to 5 citizen members and also to really bring everyone into the conversation. We have examples of other boards where we do have elected officials on the IDA, with the members from Economic Development. The UCEDA board has by definition
by title to
members from the Economic Development Committee. So and we put in for the Supervisors Association specifically to have an appointment or a recommendation in the first draft, and we're going to have the discussion about whether or not it would be a recommendation from the board to a different appointing authority, be it the legislature or the exec, and further, whether or not it could be a member of that board itself, again, putting on another elected official.
I'm sorry, Trish.
The one thing that we didn't get into, Amanda just talked about the haulers. Everyone could probably guess where I would feel putting 1 of 7 or 9 members being an actual hauler. But we can get into that. We can get into that debate.
I just jotted down, just hear me out on this. If there was, this is the 7-member committee. If there was 1 from the executive's office appointee, an appointee from the legislature, whether that be a legislator or an appointment, one from the haulers, one from the supervisor association, that's four. Then you have three at-large residents.
But who would be appointing them when you say at-large?
Well, and so currently they're appointed, that's the question. Currently they're appointed by the legislature, so that would give the legislature the majority of appointment of that body, which, but currently the legislature appoints the entire body. So at least this way, it allows some diversity.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if I may,
yep.
I think what in the proposal, what I had envisioned with the, or at least wanted to open the discussion about in terms of the legislative appointments, which let me start by saying, when you talk about legislative appointments, and I know this would be encapsulated in what you're saying, you always need to consider the minority, so you have to begin with a minimum of two appointments from the legislature. But moving beyond that, there's the question of whether or not the legislative appointments would by title require a legislator to sit if we wanted to have elected officials, or would allow an elected official to sit, which are two different things. So the legislature could, if the legislature had X number of appointments, they could appoint X number of people. Would they be required to have a legislator sit, or empowered to have a legislator sit? Would they be empowered to have them all be legislators, or like all these things would have to be enumerated?
One way, with my suggestion, with the three at large, you could say those three must be one from the is a minority party appointment, one is the majority party appointment, and one is the chair of the legislature. I mean, that just popped into my head.
Right.
And then the other legislative person would then be a seated legislator that the entire body would vote to appoint. Would that sort of answer some of your questions?
Well, I have my opinions,
yeah,
too, but I'm just saying, like, I think we get into the weeds at this point. I do think one of the first things is, from my perspective, we would first look at what's the number we're moving to as a trial. Like, what is the number we're going to try to fit? How many, then the split between executive, legislative appointments in those numbers. That's the next question. And any other appointing authority. So it's like, how many are appointed by the exec, how many are appointed by the leg, how many are appointed by any other appointing authority, if it's an appointing authority or a recommendation. And then the allowance for how many elected officials, and are there requirements of certain elected officials to be seated? Like, to me, those are the general question ideas. Then the next set of general question ideas is, you've enumerated what Manna said in terms of having a hauler represented. Supervisors Association, which I also brought up, like, are there other requirements in terms of defining who these representatives are, which starts to become, you know, more difficult in terms of the keeping it at seven or keeping it at nine as you expand that group.
Can we get Mark to come to you?
If I could just take 2 seconds to read the actual, because Tracy brought up a good point about changing the elected officials, but anything you do to touch the makeup of the board is going to require you going to change the public authorities law.
Correct.
So how it's currently written is, it shall consist of 5 members to be appointed by the chairman of the county legislature, including 1 member recommended by to the chairman by the minority leader of the county legislature. All members appointed shall be subject to confirmation by the county legislature in making appointments of the members. The chairman of the county legislature shall give due consideration to the representation of diverse geographical areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then later it says it can't be an elected official.
But it can be an employee. It speaks that you can
correct,
be an employee,
you can,
and you can't lose your job for
being appointed to this, so it actually protects employees at a higher level.
But you're going to have to change the state law no matter
absolutely.
What. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's a given that has to change. But if we're making a recommendation, then the next steps would be the legislature would have to go to the state to say we want to change. Let me get Jim Manna, then I'll come to you.
I'm very skeptical of having a holder have a seat because they're who would make that decision for the haulers? We have waste management, and we have tiny little mom and pop shops.
Agreed.
And additionally, we're supposed to be an enforcement agency. So we put whoever the holder was in a very, very difficult position in an executive session where we're saying, look, we have to go after this such and such an agency or such and such a company because they are not doing their job. And so what is the holder supposed to do? Go along with the majority or go and protect their buddy in the business? I think if the haulers want input, they are welcome to come to the meetings and have their say. There are plenty of ways they can get input. But I think it would be a mistake to put a hauler on the body that's supposed to regulate them. That's just my opinion. I'd like to hear other people's opinion, but that's what I think.
Go ahead, Tracy, because you're going to.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And also, there's language in you also have a business relationship with the haulers, mm-hmm. right? You have a contractual business relationship mm-hmm. with the haulers, where the haulers, that affects their financial bottom line. Like, I don't know how that can't be a conflict at its very most basic level. So I don't see, for me, that's a major problem.
Man, do you mind if I just respond to that real quick? And then, so just to sort of, and I'm not saying I favor it. I included it only because it came up in the discussion. Mm-hmm. But I will point out there's one on the Recycling Oversight Committee, and that's by legislation. And how is that one? I mean, I'm playing a little bit.
They don't have enforcement. And they don't enforce anything.
And recycling isn't regulated. It's not flow
right.
regulated by flow control. So there's no.
Except they do have very specific duties according to the solid waste law.
But they don't enforce that. We are
They're
the
advisory.
Enforcement body.
They're advisory.
Right. It's our job. And so I just think it's a bad mix.
Okay.
Advisory with no contract.
I want to suggest that it be ex officio so they can talk but not vote.
But how do you deal with what Jim said? Like, how do you deal with that board goes into executive session to discuss?
Yeah.
They can't, and it needs to be spelled out in the contract and in the legislation.
And who would appoint? There is no haulers association.
They can't vote, and they can't go into executive session, but their perspective can inform. I'm just trying to make a suggestion. But I want to just say what I think there might be some agreement about, and that is, I've heard the need for two appointments from the executive, and because of the two parties, two appointments from the legislature. The legislature has to, unless we change that, has to approve all the appointments, but then what I would call for now at large, which are citizens, and I think that the town supervisors should have one. So I think that's, two and two and one is five, and then the I think there should be four citizens, but we could probably get away with two. But citizens, I mean people like yourself who have served on the board as volunteers, but I think it will help to have the executive perspective, the legislative perspective, certainly the town.
If we're going to go down this road with an RRA, then we need a larger board, right? And with this kind of buy-in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that if we're not going to take it over as a county, then yes, let's try and expand it and bring in elected officials.
And we still have that option in 5 years, or to go to a district or whatever. Yeah.
One way to consider this, and again, this is just I'm throwing it out for thought, is if you took away from the legislature the certification of this board, And you made very specific, you know, the legislature appoints a legislator to the board, and then they have another appointment or two more appointments of the at-large people. However, within their own agency, they do that. The same with the supervisors. The supervisors would appoint a supervisor and then could appoint another at-large person. And that takes away the question that Tracy asked before of, you know, who, because otherwise, if everything is ultimately going to the legislature for certification, at the end of the day, if the legislature decides they don't like the person being suggested, they can hold up everything. And, you know, we've witnessed that before with department head appointments and things like that. So I'm just saying, if you really want to open it up to where it takes the control of who's appointed away from the legislature 100%, that would be something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, my instinct would be to oppose that concept. Like, not the idea of taking it away 100% from the legislature, because I feel very strongly that the executive needs to have appointments, but even as a public authority, I still feel like the appointment process needs to go through at a county level. Sure. Because there's just way too much. We're talking about potentially hundreds of millions of dollars of investment that's going to be borne one way or another on a county tax bill, whether it's through net service fee or if it were a county agency. I mean, if it were a county agency, it'd be something different. But whether it's through net service fee, which ultimately ends up on a county tax bill. I mean, that is what we're talking about. So I just think it has to come back through the legislature. Even the recommendations by the supervisors, I'm inclined to think, should still be recommendations. I mean, I can tell you from having been the chair of the legislature, and when minority appointments, for example, came up, you know, it was long held. In whatever number of years, 16 years of being in the legislature, I never saw a chair decline a minority recommendation to this board. It's always a courtesy. There is a lot of fighting about RRA appointments, particularly because the chronology of what minority member meant would change. Like, if you got appointed from the minority, and the next year the minority changed, were you now a majority appointment or were you a minority appointment? Like, that wasn't spelled out, so that became a point of argument. But there are many moments in county government where I've seen dysfunction, but it's rare. Like, you cite the legislature holding up department head appointments. That's pretty rare. My time, there's one appointment
that was
rejected by
the legislature.
Well, the
one that comes to mind is the public defender.
That's the only one in my whole
right,
term,
exactly.
My 16 years.
And I'm not, but I'm just saying.
And that's a check and balance.
Right.
That's
I'm just saying, so the possibility exists. But
I don't. Yeah. The legislature, I don't think that's the problem. But I would be very wary of ceding seats outside of county control. I strongly support the split with the executive.
Another thing that you brought up here is, and I just want to be cognizant of our time here. We're after 11, but is that kind of a rotating appointment system, in that it's not a full body appointment all at one time. And your point about the minority versus majority, with the legislature being elected every 2 years, who was the minority at one point is now the majority, but the member on the RRA is still that appointment. So potentially one solution to that is that the entire board should be reappointed all at one time. Now, I understand that... But I'm just... I admit I'm playing devil's advocate, but what I'm trying to say is that's an answer to that problem.
it creates so many other problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We
but
have
I'm,
to
you
throw
know,
all
I'm,
ideas out there. But
I'm playing a really naive person here who knows nothing about any of this.
Yes,
and
exactly.
No, but that's an answer to that discussion, because you can't, once somebody's appointed, if they're for a 5-year term, you can't, well, you're the minority appointee, now you're the majority appointee.
Well, the,
you know,
I mean,
so.
I think that's a non-starter. I just
right.
even seeing the reaction at the table,
yeah.
just
I got
the nightmare that could happen, but, and I know people have to leave, the other alternative, and I say we always have to think of the minority from having been in the minority and being in the majority, but what I think other agencies do, like when we, I'm going to see if I can pull, I was trying to look at Oneida Herkimer, since they have appointments from the Oneida legislature, the Oneida exec, the Herkimer legislature, the Herkimer exec, they have a 10-member board, but I have to look at, I suspect that they're just straight appointments, that no, they're not, they just got rid of the problem by saying there is no minority appointment, it's a legislative appointment,
yeah.
and whoever
yeah.
the legislature appoints,
the
legislature
kind of
appoints,
wins.
Like
yeah.
that's
yeah.
it. You know,
yeah.
and honestly, there's been a, like a, mm-hmm. all of the consternation about the appointments over the years have been over that
dynamic,
that distinction of like,
yeah. then
wait, the one
on
that
yeah. qualification yeah. under the language,
and
allows,
if the next year,
allows
the 2 years,
right.
the majority switches,
internally.
Then
agree.
They get different appointments.
Okay, agree.
Solve that problem.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Plus, you can't really change. There's something to be said for institutional knowledge.
Exactly.
You,
oh,
you know, so
and
you, that's why you
yeah.
stagger the time.
And I was going to actually ask you that, Jim, of how long, if a new person was joining that board, how long do they, I mean, obviously different people have different learning speeds.
Yeah,
but you need a
year.
And a year is what I would say.
A lot of knowledge about a year, but.
To learn process.
But I'm still learning, you know, and I'm more than 2 years in, so.
We're always with. If I could ask before the next meeting that we all come back to the meeting with a little more thought of number of board members, what the makeup of the board would be, and then how those people were appointed, so we start with that.
Can I ask
okay.
maybe if Michael
yes.
Sends out the resolution that I
yes, it was very good.
Just because
absolutely.
It was a starting point for discussion.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I did it, I was mindful of not being too prescriptive in
mm-hmm.
the conversation. It was very much about opening
yeah.
the conversation.
Yeah.
You would have had my vote on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am, I have actually offered, but I'm going to take back the offer because I'm too busy and other things are going on, to organize the information that
mm-hmm.
you put a lot of time into consolidating, and Jim circulated an improved outline.
Yeah.
Well,
this is exactly how in my head, you know, my the outline
let
I did.
Let me finish,
okay.
please,
because yep.
you're going to say something that I think you said before, and I just really want to suggest that we find a way to, I can't offer input into what we have. And it doesn't make sense for me to put my input into an outline that doesn't have the rest of the information. I had offered to take it and put it into the outline, but I can't commit to doing that. So I just want to ask if there's some way that can get done.
Well, if I could, begin to outline Section 3, Materials Diversion, if that will be helpful.
That would be
yeah.
extremely
yeah,
helpful.
I could start
yeah.
putting that to paper,
and
taking
and
your work and
yeah.
what I've heard.
And all I was trying to do was take, you know, 11 meetings worth of minutes and put them, the overarching topics. What I was writing was never intended to be the entire report. I you know, what you've done, the introduction, the history, to me that was something that was not part of that outline that I did. What I did was basically 3, 4, and 6, because we hadn't talked about intergovernmental relations.
3, 4, and 6 are scrambled, and I think what Jim is offering to do is what we need to do. If each person could look through that and take responsibility for a section, then it might get done.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I've always said that, you know, I'm when people say I'm offering to help, that's great, but it without a product, I don't know what that really means.
All right, I'll do a draft in section 3.
Do you have 5 minutes that we can talk afterward, sure. And we can sort of, because, you know, what I was waiting on is until we finish the discussion, because as today showed, we start one discussion and then we shift to another topic or a different way of thinking, and quite honestly, to write something that then we're going to change our mind on of how to do it, it didn't make a lot of sense.
I wasn't asking to write. I was asking to just put it in a coherent order so I could think.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I feel like we're done, at least we have enough agreement on materials diversion as a group.
Agreed.
Can write so that
agreed.
I can write about it as a draft and bring it to the committee, and then we can start finalizing it. But at least this way, we're not in 7 weeks trying to finalize all 6 or 7
right.
sessions here.
Right. Right. And but also what I heard from March and other people is that our conclusions and recommendations should be sort of forefront, and we may need to reorder this.
Yeah.
Only because when a report is too lengthy, people lose interest, and they, you know,
they can just go to the section on recommendations.
Well, and the executive summary would have the conclusions and recommendations.
Yeah, okay. The executive summary.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
yeah. I mean, you can't write a summary until you write the other part.
No, we can't write the ending until we're done. But there are parts that we can start.
Yeah.
We can, but
yeah.
I'm probably not rewriting.
Yeah. That's how it's done a lot of the time. You come to your conclusion, and then you work your way into it.
Yeah.
Well, in this, I don't think that's possible. Thank you. All right, so Mr. Chairman, let's meet for a few minutes after.
And it makes sense for March to do intergovernmental.
Absolutely.
If she's willing, because she focused.
Well, she said she was going to outline the committee or the contract.
Right? Yeah.
So she's already on that.
Right.
The longest and hardest one, I think, is diversion. And once the outline or the bullets or whatever might put together are organized like that, I would be glad to work on it either with others or at least put my thoughts in.
Great.
On that section.
Well, luckily it's going to rain a lot, so I'm not going to have to do this.
Yes, thank you. It's going to rain all week.
Thank you, everybody.